नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
श्रीमद् भागवतम टेक्स्ट कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 15 टेक्स्ट नंबर 52। निषेकादि समसानाय थे संस्कारे संस्कृतो द्विज इन्द्रियेषु क्रिया यज्ञान् ज्ञानदीपेषु जुवति।
ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रीला एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रीला प्रभुपाद। अ ट्वाइस बॉर्न ब्राह्मण द्विज गेन्स हिज लाइफ बाय द ग्रेस ऑफ हिज पेरेंट्स थ्रू द प्रोसेस ऑफ प्योरिफिकेशन नोन एज गर्भधान। There are also other processes of purification until the end of life when the funeral ceremony, Antyeshti Kriya, is performed. Thus, in due course, a qualified Brahmana becomes uninterested in materialistic activities and sacrifices, but he offers the sensual sacrifices in full knowledge into the working senses which are illuminated by the fire of knowledge. Purport: those interested in materialistic activities remain in the cycle of birth and death. Pravritti marg, or the inclination to stay in the material world to enjoy varieties of sense gratification, has been explained in the previous verse. Now in this verse it is explained that one who has perfect brahmanical knowledge rejects the process of elevation to higher planets and accepts nivritti marg. In other words, he prepares himself to go back home, back to Godhead. Those who are not Brahmanas but atheists do not know what is Pravritti Marg or Nivritti Marg. They simply want to obtain pleasure at any cost. Our Krishna Consciousness Movement is therefore training devotees to give up the Pravritti Marg and accept the Nivritti Marg in order to return home back to Godhead. This is a little difficult to understand, but it is very easy if one takes to Krishna Consciousness seriously and tries to understand Krishna. A Krishna conscious person can understand that performing yajna according to the karma kanda system is a useless waste of time, and that merely giving up the karma kanda and accepting the process of speculation is also unfruitful. Therefore, Narottama Das Thakur has sung in his Prema Bhakti Chandrika, "Karma kanda jnana kanda kevala vishera bhanda, amrita balya yeba khaya, nana yoni sada phire, khadarya Pakshana kare, tara janma adha pate yaya." A life of karma kanda or jnana kanda is like a poison pot, and one who takes to such a life is doomed. In karma kanda system, one is destined to accept birth and death again and again. Similarly, with jnana kanda, one falls down again to this material world. Only worship of supreme person offers one the safety of going back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. So, reading from this particular section of Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 15, text number 52, wherein Narad Muni is continuing his discussion with Yudhishthir Maharaj, explaining the different duties of a Brahmana. And in this particular section, he is explaining the importance of samskaras that a Brahmana and in general everybody goes through. Recently, I came across a particular real story. There was a boy who, right from his childhood, his parents were training him to be always very positive in his life. Always see whatever happens as positive. Even if something apparently bad has happened, the parents trained him very nicely that you should see it as something positive, something very good for you. something which will help you in due course, something that you can learn things from. And in this positive environment, this child was growing. And naturally, because the parents have trained him so nicely, that particular quality of seeing positivity in everything very strongly rubbed on him, and he was having the same bent of mind. So as he grew, he had friends, and not everybody was as positive oriented as him. So in one situation, he and two of his friends were going for an interview. Very important. Maybe he did his management or whatever. And he was appearing for his interview. This was the final interview call, meeting the top people of the that particular organization. And obviously, he was dressed in a very, very formal way, with a suit and a tie and well-groomed hair and everything. They were walking. They parked their car and they were walking to some distance to go to the particular company. While he was walking, he was passing under a tree. And as usual, when we pass under a tree, sometimes we have this bird droppings. And it just fell right on his head. From his head, it just bounced off, fell into his coat. And, you know, the black coat, which was tainted, his head was this thing. And the other friend, he said, "My God, see what happened to you now, what will you do?" The friends knew that he was a devotee of God, not necessarily Krishna, but devotee of God. So this particular boy was happy. He was actually smiling. He said, "Have you gone crazy? What are you going to do now? He said, finally, interview call. You have to wear a suit. It is advertised that you have to go with a coat. It is not optional. And you know, how are you going to clean it and what?" Then he raised his hands. I said, "Thank you." So that fell. The friend said, "You have really gone crazy. What are you thanking God for?" Then he raised his hand and said, "Thank God that elephants don't fly." Because he was so much in the positive mood that he's so even positive in this, that if elephant would be flying, what would have happened to me today? I would have been, you know. So this person got the job finally. He got the job. And, you know, both of them got the job. And, you know, there was a particular person the first day at office. And, you know, there was a particular person who was already employed in that office. So that person on the first day asked this particular boy, I said, "What's the time?" So he saw the watch and it said, "It's 1 o'clock. So as soon as it was 1 o'clock, the boss slapped him fat tight on his face once. So, you know, all his friends said, "What are you going to do with this? You know, this is completely crazy." So this boy again said, "Thank God he didn't ask me the time 1 hour before." Because maybe this guy was just, you know, there. So what we are trying to just derive from this is it's a confession of one of the persons he was saying. And this person, of course, right now is one of the top management, one of the many top management consultants to some of the top corporates in London. This same person, he grew up to become a top person. He attributes this, he writes in his book, he attributes this to the training that his parents gave him to see everything positively in life. So what we are trying to derive from this is the aspect of samskaras. What is a samskara? What do we really mean by samskara? In our very shallow understanding, it means samskara means, you know, garbhadan sanskar or antyeshti sanskar. Some fire is there, some brahman is there, and you know, some mantras have been chanted, and that's a samskara. But no, samskara is something, as explained, that samskara means an impression, a mental impression, or is explained a itching or engraving in a person's chitta or mind. What impressions that person has, what is gathering in his mind, is called a samskara. It is itched. You know what is itching, or not this itching? The itching, E-T-C-H, to itch on a metal plate or engrave in something. Engraving. Into you have a metal piece, you want to engrave a name. It is engraved. So this samskara is nothing but impression that is created or engraved. Or in maybe, you know, to understand in a modern terminology, something which is tattooed.
You know what is tattoo, right? We all know tattoos nowadays. And this is quite a cyclic thing. I remember in Gujarat, where my family is from, there were old ladies when I was small. They were in the 80s, and everywhere they had their tattoos, the small green dots. If you know, everywhere I said, why are they, everywhere they had dots, and you know, and then after 30 years, the same tattoo thing comes, and now everybody is showing their biceps and triceps with tattoos all around. Now, what does a tattoo mean? Tattoo is nothing but a dye which is injected in your skin, and of course we Christianize it by writing Trinadapi Suniche and all these things. But it's a tattoo. It's a tattoo. it is not something which is. If it was required, Krishna would have given it to us. It would have been tattooed automatically. But it is not something which. But of course, devotees Krishnaize it, and that's their way of looking at it. But what does a tattoo mean? It's a dye which is injected in your skin, remains there for the rest of your life. So a samskara is the impression that you are gathering from the surroundings, from what you see, from your senses, by what you see, what you hear, what you eat, the impression that you are deriving from those things, and those impressions which are imprinted, engraved in your mind, that is a samskara. So a person's value system, the system of his values, what he values in his life, is depends upon what impressions that he has gathered in his life. So, if somebody has gathered something good, then, he values. The samskara that is gathered, the impression is gathered is good, then he sees that as a good thing. And if some impression is gathered from something which is not so good or for bad, then he gathers, has a feeling of not so comfortable or not so good feeling for that particular thing. A simple example, we know that there's a simple thing that somebody can do. Just maybe there's a slope. In my school, I remember we used to have a slope, and we would all just run down the slope, just in our recess, just run down the slope. But there was one friend of mine, he would just not go on the slope. He would just, and we said this, as if we'll catch your hand, we'll take you up, and you just come down, it is nothing. See, I said, no. The moment we'll talk about the slope, going up the slope, you would be very, very fearful. And then, after speaking to him, we found out that many years back when he was a child, somebody had taken the slope and they said, you come down, we will catch you. And then he came down and nobody caught him, and he really felt very bad, he really had a bad injury. And that impression got imprinted in his mind, and for the rest of his life, maybe even now, I don't know where he is now. But any slope he saw, he would just be so scared and so fearful. An apparently simple thing. We would just run down. For us, it was like, doing it 50 times in a minute. But for him, to do it even once was so scary. Why is this? Because there's a particular impression that a person really captures in his mind. Samskara, what we're talking about. But a samskara which is captured, and in this case, a not so good samskara, not so good impression. That's why the fear is there for the rest of his life. I many years back, I was preaching in one of the colleges, and, after preaching, I requested one of the senior brahmacharis, Deyamrit Prabhu, to come to the college. This was my own college, National College, Bandra. So he gave a class there. So this boy, I gave 7-8 lectures, and this boy was very much receptive, very much keen to know more about Krishna consciousness. But the moment the lecture of Deyamrit Prabhu came, I called him and he was sitting right in the first bench. I thought that this is the real thing now. Once he hears Deyamrit Prabhu speaking, he is going to be really cemented to Krishna consciousness. So I was very, very, as I said, you sit in the first bench. And as soon as Deyamrit Prabhu entered, this person became extremely uncomfortable. He came to me in great fear. He said, I need to leave. I said, what happened? He said, no, I need to leave. He just ran out. I said, this is strange. What happened? I said, then I met him after the program. I said, what happened? Please tell me what happened. Then he said that when I was very small, I went to my village. And there, a saffron colored person came to my house. And he did a horrible thing with my sister. So since that time, when I see saffron-colored people, I just get very, very jittery. Anything you won't tell me, but if I can't hear it from saffron-colored people, then I was thinking, so unfortunate. That the impression which he has of just a saffron color, not really really wanting to know whether they are right or wrong, just that impression. So this is a negative impression. What we talk about in the first story is the positive impression the parents gave him to see positivity. So they had positive impressions, their negative impressions. So these samskaras that we have are gathered from what? They're gathered from our senses. What we see, what we hear, what we experience. And this experience, this impression, sometimes remains for months, sometimes for years, sometimes for a lifetime. And in some cases, sometimes for lifetimes. Just imagine how powerful this impression is. When I was just growing in Krishna consciousness in the first few months, there was a famous video which was given to me of a film on reincarnation called Audrey Rose. I think we must have. And in that, this girl, in her previous life, she had died in a car accident. The car was burning. And she had, banging the windows of the car, she was not able to escape, and she died in the car accident. In the next life, can you imagine, this is next lifetime, she had died in the next life, when she was born again as a human being, this is a case of reincarnation. The moment she saw from a window on a balcony a fire, she was just reflected back upon what had happened in her previous life, and she went completely crazy and frantic, and just banging the window again. So try to understand, the reason we are trying to give so many examples is, what is the power of what you see, what you experience on our chitta, on our mind? It has powerful impressions on our mind, good or bad, whatever. And it lasts for a lifetime. To this day, there was a devotee who was, he was in the bomb blast. He was in the train. And of course he survived. To this day, after what, a couple of years now, he just sometimes in the night just gets up and, just sees all dead bodies around, blood flowing, hands, broken hands, and just gets up, and just, because that thought haunts him. So that's the power of what you have seen. So the Vedic system, they really give respect to this samskaras, the impressions. And in general, the modern propaganda is that the Vedic culture is outdated, it is primitive, it is not very evolved. But it's absolutely a wrong brainwashing that is done. Our Vedic scriptures, our Vedic teachings are so very evolved, so very profound and deep in the understanding, that they respect this aspect of impressions and samskaras. And we have what is called Garbhadan Sanskar, for example. Let's mention this verse. What is Garbhadan Sanskar? That they so much respect that even before a child is born, even before a child is conceived in the mother's womb, the Vedic scriptures are so evolved that they want to give such an impression to the child that we have this Garbhadan Sanskar, where the father and the mother, they both unite with complete Krishna consciousness, intensely chanting and invoking the presence of the Lord. And then when they unite, the right type of soul is attracted to the womb. So even before a person is born, the Garbhadan Sanskar is there to create an impression, a positive impression for the child. Can you imagine how evolved our shastras and are? It's not some outdated mundane thing that you do some puja here and there and it's a very, very deep science. It's a very, very deep science. I was hearing a class by Bhakti Vidyapurnam Maharaj, who is a expert on samskaras, and he was saying that what is this Garbhadan Sanskar all about? That, while the mother and the father are trying to attract a child, they are hundreds and thousands and millions of jiva souls hovering around to really accept a womb. To really get shelter of a womb. But when the father and mother are in proper consciousness, the right type of soul, of the millions of souls, the right evolved soul which is the right type to really continue his path or her path of Krishna consciousness, is attracted to the mother's womb. So such an evolved science it is. So the samskaras are something very, very important in the Vedic scriptures. They really have so many samskaras. There are 10 We will not go into details of the samskaras, but as Prabhupada explains that and in this verse also, right from Garbhadhan Sanskar to the Antyeshti Kriya and everything in between, there are so many samskaras, and it should not be seen as useless, mundane, karmakandic type of thing. This is very important, because by the samskaras, the child or the person is imbibing impressions which will help him or her in his life or her life as she progresses in her life. So the mind is typically exposed to basically two types of samskaras, impressions, explained in the shastras. One is the bhoga samskara and other is the bhakti samskaras. The impressions by which one gets inspired to enjoy sense gratification, bhoga, enjoyment propensity, and other is the samskaras or the impressions one gets by which one gets the desire to do bhakti or to really make progress in Krishna consciousness. These are two types of samskaras a person is gathering while he is interacting in the material world. So as Gita explains this beautiful verse, raga dvesha vimukteshu vishayan indriyascharan, that if a person has to not be attached to anything, raga and dvesha should not be attached to anything and not be averse to anything. Because both attachment and aversion create impressions. Whether you attach to something or you averse to something. We can explain this by a simple example. A person who is very much attached to his wife, for example, is very attached, deeply in love with his wife. He says, he's only thinking of his wife, constantly thinking wherever he is, just meditating upon his wife, because he's attached to it. Attachment gives us impression, and by that, it gives us the mind is constantly thinking of that particular aspect of the thing that we are attached to. Simultaneously, for example, if this person is harboring aversion, say for a particular community or particular, minority religion, for example. Suppose he's harboring that, I hate those people of that religion. I hate them. So here is a person who is having attachment to his wife, which is creating positive feelings but feelings of attachment. And simultaneously, he's having aversion for say, particular community. And, the moment he sees the people of the community, he becomes very angry with them, becomes very, very, very violent in his mind, wants to beat them, kill them, whatever. So whether it is raga or it is dvesha, it is said that too much aversion is also attachment, isn't it? If you attach to something too much, that also creates that, because you are thinking of it constantly. So what Krishna says, we should neither be attached to something too much and nor be averse to something too much. You should be simply equipoised, because both of them create a strong amount of impression in our heart. So as devotees, we are sadhakas, and everything that we are exposed to, through our senses, obviously we are not going to be closing our eyes, we are going to be exposing our senses to so many external stimuluses. So what do we really do? The shastras explain that we should be waxing our mind and our chitta. We should be waxing it. And what does this waxing process really mean? Waxing nothing but like the lotus flower. That what happens on a lotus flower? The drop falls and drop totters down and it is not to be seen again. We don't really even know. It doesn't even create an impression on the lotus petal. It's not that you see the impression that there was a drop of water here. No. It is just totters down. It is as if it is not there. So when a devotee, as devotees, everything that we are seeing, that we are hearing, creates an impression. So we are, in one sense, when we are young, we have created impression in our mind through what we have seen. And simultaneously, when we come to Krishna consciousness, and when we experience Krishna consciousness for the first time, or we experience particular things in Krishna consciousness for the first time, we are creating impressions in our mind. Or people whom we are preaching to, when they are coming to Krishna consciousness, they are creating particular impressions in their mind, which are going to be there for the rest of their life. So this gives rise to an important discussion of how important it is to behave responsibly in our Krishna consciousness. How important it is to behave well, because every action, every talk, every thought, every word that we are speaking is creating impression in our hearts, in our mind, in our chitta. And not only in our mind and hearts and chitta, it is also creating impression in other people's minds and hearts. There was one devotee, maybe he is sitting here. There was a devotee who came, he was coming to Krishna consciousness. And this was his first yatra. We have our famous yatras. So this was his first yatra in Krishna consciousness. He was very excited. He was a devotee for almost a year and a half. And everybody was saying, yatra is so nice. It really gives you a booster dose in Krishna consciousness. Please come to the yatra, wonderful. So he signed up for the yatra and he said, I want to come. And this was the yatra to Sri Vrindavan Dham. So he came, and you know, as usual, they announced that, you know, the yatra is going today to so and so place. Please assemble in your buses, and the buses will leave at so and so time. So he, you know, he sat in the bus. He was right at the window seat, very, very enthusiastically waiting when the bus will start and I will start my yatra. Very enthusiastic. The impression that he had of the yatra was very, very positive till now. And, you know, there he was just looking out of the window. When he looked out the window, things were getting late. You know, when things get late, the managers get a little hyper-excited. You know, when things don't happen on time, the managers... There were two managers who were very senior devotees. And, you know, there was a... What he, right in front of his eyes, he saw two devotees bitterly arguing with each other. You know, really quite a heavy argument. And he saw this. And as I said, moment you see something through the senses, it creates an impression in your mind. And so what was the natural thing? He thought, oh, so it is here also the same story. Till now I was not exposed to this. Here also is the same story of fighting. So he said, well, I don't want to really go for yatra, but I have paid my money. He's a Marwadi. So, you know, he said, I paid my money. So might as well I just go for 1 or 2 days. Just make the best use of this particular situation. And then I want to go back to Bombay because... And what is the first thing? Can you imagine the first thing he saw? So he said, let me just go today. And he phoned his friend who was still in Bombay, who was coming the next day, or maybe after 2-3 days. These two were very close friends. I'm sure many of you are guessing who they are. So he phoned his friend and he said that, don't come. It is not really worth it. You know, I'm here. I don't think it's really worth it. And told his friends, you wait. I'll tell you if you really need to come, I'll tell you, then you come. So anyways, so he went to the first day, carrying a very heavy feeling in his heart. I said, he was completely put off. You know, as you say, you know, there's a candle. It was burning bright and somebody just blew and the candle just went off and he was just having no enthusiasm, just, you know, very, very... The next day, just to make his paisa vasool, you know, he just sat down in the bus and said, I'll go today also. He sat down in the bus, the same seat, not so enthusiastic. He looked out of the window and what did he see? He saw these two same very devotees who were there yesterday, not fighting. But he saw them embracing each other. And after embracing, they offered obeisance to each other. And he was looking at it. He said, this is... And then this devotee also is a very intelligent person, you know, because you see something and you need to really learn something from this also. So he made a very wonderful inference from this thing that he saw. He said, what happened yesterday happens all over the world. But what I saw today happens only in Krishna consciousness. So this is what he concluded. And he's still a devotee, a counselor, an active member of our congregation. For the last maybe couple of, at least a decade plus. So what do we learn from this example? That how important, and if it was not for, I mean, these two devotees, they patched up. You know, they were just in their passion and they patched up. But Krishna arranged, luckily for him, that he saw them. If you would have not seen them, this person would have, you know, would have been having a different impression of Krishna consciousness, right? So sometimes, you know, when you go to, we hear all these wonderful book distribution stories, and people are sometimes very violent, and when you go into deep of the matter, there's some reason why they hate the Hare Krishnas. I remember when, and the only few times that I've done, very few times I've done in trains, and I was hoping that there is a good experience. You know, I said, because I'm very, very, you know, feel very, you know, I don't feel comfortable going to train selling. You know, I'm not as humble as all of you are. So it was very difficult for me to really go out and put the hands up. I said, Suno, something like that. Very difficult. I do it on stations, but not different on trains. There's one experience. I was going in the train. I took a lot of courage. I said, many of my, you know, my friends are doing it. Why can't I do it? And they get good scores. So I took the courage and, you know, I was sitting. And to sit and to get up, it's so difficult. You know, I got up and again sat down. You know, I got up again, sat down, and I got up and then I did my shirt proper and sat down again. Because, you know, I was feeling so difficult. And then I said, and then it was Andheri, and I was getting down at Malar. I said, now or never, you know, you have to get up. So I just took a deep breath, did some pranayama, and boom, and, you know, just, you know, got up with the Bhagavad Gita. I said, Bhagavad Gita, and I was saying 10 times that Bhagavad Gita, the people looking at me. Because I couldn't speak. What is this fellow? He's gone crazy, suddenly gets off the seat and Bhagavad Gita. And then I really gathered my composure and I said Bhagavad Gita and blah, 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 whatever I learned from the devotees. And surprisingly, you know, as soon as I spoke this, and this was first class compartment, you know, so first class compartment, a person in his tie, and I said, he just got up, I said, shut up, get out, get out of this compartment. I said, what happened? I said, you guys are such a rogue. Even in India, you trouble me. I said, well, this is all started in India, by the way. This is the Indian religion. But then I said, what happened to you? And then he got down at Malad also. I said, I'm sorry, my friend. But why are you so aggressive with me? What bad did I do? I said, you people, I was in America. I was in O'Hare Airport. And you guys really just pestered me. Not one. 10 of them, while I was going out, just pestered me. I had to buy the book. And in the bargain, I bought the book. My purse fell down and lost $2,000. And it's all because of these you Hare Krishnas. Because I bought the book because they were pestering me. In the bargain, I lost my purse. He said, maybe you guys took it also. Huh? So then I realized, you know, that every person, why he or she behaves in a particular way, is not always, we say that, karmis. Huh? After all, karmis, what they know. But there's a reason why they behave the way they behave. And it's all coming through the samskaras or the impressions that they have gathered in their interaction with devotees. So sometimes you might deal with a devotee and, you know, with a person and the other person in the other country, a devotee, has to face the consequence. So it is serious that how important or responsible it is that we as devotees be in a proper way, because we are creating impressions in our life. I remember when I came to Initial Krishna Consciousness, I was very enthusiastic in preaching. And it was a big year for the ISKCON Society. It was, we had many, many Mahasasang programs in that year. And, you know, I said, I was just a young, and I was married, but not having so much experience. I said, why don't we do a Mahasasang in Goregaon? You know, it would be nice to, and, you know, unfortunately, very unfortunately, in our ISKCON Society, there is a norm which is so sad. I said, whoever speaks does it, right? It's a sad thing because, you know, it really, I'll tell you the example why it is so sad. So, you know, ISKCON Society, we have whoever says does it. So I just suggested, you know, I was thinking that some devotees will help me and I would just assist them to do a nice satsang program. And everybody said, do it. I said, no, you do it now. And it all came upon my head. I mean, everything just, I said, I was just phone. I said, Prabhuji, what about this? You do it. What about this? You do it. And I said, the impression which I got, I said, next time, I'm never, ever going to open my mouth. Even your enthusiasm, you do it in a small way, but never open your mouth. So sad it is, right? So because, you know, this impression that I got, that, you know, you know, this is, after all, just exploiting society. You know, this is, you know, of course, it's not the case. But few devotees behave that way, and then it just saps the enthusiasm, right? Similarly, we were in the counselors' meeting, and one very senior brahmachari was not giving any opinion about anything. You know, and then the leader of this temple said that he will not speak because he has a bad impression. Because last time when he spoke, it was a confidential thing, and it was spread to everybody in the society. Everybody knew that so-and-so brahmachari spoke so-and-so thing. It was a confidential thing. So next time, this person is never going to speak. I said, you have shut down his mouth for the rest of his life because he will never open his mouth. You have lost his input in this meeting. Why? Because this brahmachari just had an impression that, you know, whatever I speak is lost. So what I'm trying to say is, my dear friends, samskaras is not just garbhadan, antyeshti and something, simantanayan and all these things. It applies to brahmacharis, to sannyasis, to grihasthas, to everybody. Every second we are doing samskaras. We are having impressions in our mind and heart. We are creating impressions. We are giving impressions to others. So how important and responsible we have to behave. As it is said, the child is like a sponge, and the sponge accepts everything that he sees. And like, you know, like many times I think Yudhishthira Prabhu was giving example in his parenting seminar that, you know, there's a devotee child. He goes to the father, the papa, so and so devotee has called up. The papa tells him, tell him I'm not there. What does the child gather from that? That means that devotees are not so important. And we can tell lies to the child. I mean, we can tell lies to devotees. That's what the child gathers. So next time, if a child wants to ignore somebody, he says, you tell him I'm not there. Right? So that's what is impression all about. And similarly in devotee circles also. Whatever we see, whatever we talk. You know, if devotees see their seniors are behaving in a particular way, that they don't dance in the Sunday feast kirtan, then the junior says, well, I don't think when I become a senior devotee, I'll not suppose dance in kirtan. But that's the impression he has got. The dancing is only for neophytes. Dancing is not for senior devotees. It's not meant for senior devotees. When I become senior, when the moment somebody starts offering respects to me, I become senior, so I don't need to dance in kirtan. I need to be in some meetings. Because meetings are for senior devotees. Dancing is for junior devotees. That's unfortunate. So sad. That's the impression we are giving to the people who come to the temple. That dancing is for neophytes and meetings is for seniors. These bloody meetings should be stopped. It's so sad. Right? So we should really understand that every action has a particular impression in people. So, Krishna, in this verse it is said that by the fire of knowledge, in this verse it explained the fire of knowledge. So this Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Shadya Kabunoy, this love of God is there in everyone's heart. But it is covered by so much dust. Layers and layers and layers and layers of dust is there. But when this layers of dust along with the pure love of God that we have is burnt in the fire of knowledge, as explained in this, by illuminated by the fire of knowledge. When the fire burns, the unnecessary dust burns out and the gold-like love for Godhead becomes becomes bright and sparkling. And what is required? It is the knowledge that is required. Knowledge of how important it is to behave responsibly in Krishna consciousness, or rather in any of our activities, how it is important to responsibly behave in all our activities. So this is basic talking about the samskaras, and of course everything that we do, the verse explains that everything that we do is meant to ultimately develop love for God. Otherwise everything, this karma kand and jnana kand, is simply a pot of poison, sakala vishara bhanda. It is like a pot of poison. If ultimately by doing that, we are not able to create the situation where we are loving God. And there's a beautiful example, beautiful story, just to very briefly go through the story. The story of Krishna's coward friends approaching the brahmanas. What a beautiful, brilliant story it is. There where Krishna sends his coward friends and he says that, please go and ask for prasad, I'm very hungry. And the brahmanas, and this brahmana were not ordinary, ordinary poor brahmanas. As we understand, they were very, very highly scholarly, very rich, right, Gopinath Prabhu? They were very, very rich, very, very affluent, aristocratic, powerful people in society. They were like powerful brahmanas. And because, the type of yajnashala that is explained was so elaborate, that they have to be very, very powerful brahmanas. So when they approach the brahmanas, the brahmanas just ignore them. So in this pastime, when Prabhupada writes his summary in this particular chapter, he writes that this pastime exposes the pretentious position of so-called brahmanas who are not faithful devotees of the Supreme Lord. The pretentious position. So, what is the pretentious position? The position which they are assuming, but through that what they are doing, they are not able to create, they are not able to develop love for God. And we'll go further. So, the Brahmana said, well, we are not, they didn't even look at them. They didn't even respond. So, what did the coward boy said? He said that in sarcasm, the cowboy said that you are supposed to be great Brahmanas, you are supposed to be great knowers of religion. And sarcasm said that, oh, best of the knowers of religion. You know religion, so how are you ignoring? He said, because as per the religion, everybody who is hungry is supposed to get food. That's religion. And you are not even looking at us. So anyway, the Brahmana said, you go away. And then Shukadeva Goswami writes in his verse, this Brahmanas, they were actually very learned in the Vedic literatures, but actually he said, Shukadeva Goswami's words, they were inexperienced fools. It was a very powerful statement. These are very learned Brahmanas, but because they didn't realize that Krishna and Balram are waiting, they didn't realize that Yageshwar, the master of all yagyas, is waiting and asking. He's himself asking for something, like, you know, what is yagya? Yagya means offering to the Lord. You're offering some ghee and other thing. But here, Yageshwar is waiting and requesting, you feed me. And they ignore him. He says, no, we are just busy doing the yagya. So, Sukadeva Goswami says that they were actually inexperienced fools. what a powerful statement. And then, of course, the Dvijapatnis, they come. And there's a wonderful conversation between the Lord and the Dvijapatnis. And they were ordinary ladies. They had not much knowledge. Even in the song, Jaya Dvijapatni Jaya Nagakanya Gyana. Dvijapatni is very ordinary. Bhakti te yahara pailo Govinda Charan. By bhakti, by their great bhakti, not by knowledge. Right to understand. If it was knowledge, they said Gnane Charan pailo. But there's a bhakti. They got the lotus feet of the Lord through their bhakti. So this is what is very, very important. And then, you know, when the Brahman has realized, they are remorsing. And this is very nice. He said, to hell with our threefold birth, our vow of celibacy and our extensive learning. To hell with our aristocratic background and our expertise in rituals of sacrifice. These are all condemned because we are inimical to the transcendental personality of Godhead. This is so wonderful. That this is also very good. The Brahmana said, to hell with all these things. The samskaras are good. This yagyas is good. It talks about yagyas also here. Yagya is good. But if that yagya, if whatever we are doing, whatever we are doing in Krishna consciousness is a yagya. Now we are offering it at the havan, at the fire of the holy name, or the fire of the deity's pleasure. So it is like a yagya. But if that activity is not developing love of God, then it is shrama eva hi kevalam. It is simply a hard labor without really achieving any result. So similarly, the Brahmanas, in their great remorse, they are saying that to hell with all these three births. Three births is like one from their father, a parents, one from, what are three births? One from the parents, one from the Brahmanic initiation, and one from something else. I think that's what the three births are. To hell with our celibacy, to hell with our knowledge, to hell with our aristocratic background, to hell with our sacrifices, to hell with all these things, because we didn't develop love of God. So we should be very, very careful that whatever activities we do, we are doing it in proper Krishna consciousness. And whatever worship we are doing proper Krishna consciousness, because it is the last line in this purport of Prabhupada is so wonderful, so very alerting. He said, only worship of the Supreme Person offers one the safety of going back home, back to Godhead. Otherwise, everything else, all other margs, karmakanda, jnanakanda, and all the other things, they are not very safe. They don't guarantee you. And in that way, they are unsafe, because they don't guarantee you the destination. But the only safe path to go back home, back to Godhead, is worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when you worship Him, when you offer your offerings, your yagyas, in the form of your holy name chanting, in the form of your services to the lotus feet of Krishna, that is the only safe way. Because what is the most dangerous thing in the material world? That we are always very unsafe of things, right? Being unsafe is the greatest fear in everybody's heart. We are unsafe everywhere. But the only, even in spiritual life, we are unsafe. Because we might get carried away by ego, we might get carried away by some other deviant philosophy or so on and so forth. But the only safe path to remain, so that path which is going straight to the kingdom of God, and that safe path is a path of bhakti. When you are doing bhakti, that is the only safe path which will take us back to Godhead. So from these words, we understand the great depth of meaning in samskaras or impressions, in how we should behave responsibly, and how we should really give a responsible impression to the people whom we are interacting with, whether it is in Krishna consciousness or it is outside of Krishna consciousness, because they are making their impressions through our behavior, and how important it is to behave responsibly. And ultimately, the purpose of all yajnas, the purpose of all samskaras is to really develop love for God, and everything else, what we are doing, we might develop great scholarship, we might develop great leadership, we might develop great followership, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam, vajagdish, kamaye, mama janmani, janmaneshwari, bhavatat, bhakti, ahetu, kitvai. I simply want unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving, devotional service to the Lord. So that is what we are trying to do. And that is what Narad Muni is trying to tell us, and that is what Srila Prabhupada is trying to tell us through this particular wonderful verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any comments from my worshipable senior devotees here? And anybody has any questions, we'll be happy to answer. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki! Srila Prabhupada ki! Yeah.